Our reading is from Luke chapter 4 this morning, verses 14 to 20.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written,
"The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour."
Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're now going to be watching a film about the work of compassion.
When I was 8 years old, my father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job. My father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasenke, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. And then I was introduced to our new home, which was a 12 by 12 room. I looked up on the roof. It was a tin roof that had holes in it. I've been to places where when it rains, people are happy. They get excited. But for me growing up, whenever it rained, that was a night that would stay standing. Get little buckets, place just where the holes in the roof are, and wait until morning. A reality hit me that day. This was life. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. Hunger began to set in. Lack of water. I was a kid. I didn't have time to be a child anymore. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming with files to get details of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. Richmond, you've got a sponsor, which means you can now go back to school. It means food will be given to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality. That ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me. To hear words like, "Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you." They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voices and poverty and my self-image. I remember my day, June 3rd, 1996. I walked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. I have been released. God began to continue to grow the leadership within me. And then I felt fully called to pursue pastoral ministry. I began the Pastors Discipleship Network, a ministry that exists to train and equip pastors. And I spend a lot of my life training and equipping pastors in the Word of God. Looking back into my life and thinking where I am right now and what I am doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was placed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food, and water. Poverty is in. It's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
Well, that's a powerful story. I was with Richmond 2 weeks ago. I was in Uganda. Toby and I were there, and we met Richmond. He's just about to finish his doctorate. He is heading up this organization, Pastorship Discipleship Network. 5,000 pastors being trained across the whole of Uganda to bring the word of the Lord, to bring hope, to bring aspiration, to bring transformation into people's lives. That's just one story. The most powerful thing that Richmond says in that video is, it wasn't the lack of money, it was the lack of hope. We're here this morning with Rhys and Tori and Bethany, and I guess for you as parents, you have hopes and dreams and aspirations. You're praying over her. You're believing that God is going to do something wonderful in her, for her, and through her. And she has hope. But I'm here this morning representing compassion, representing children who this morning have no hope. They are in situations where, as they look around themselves, there is no hope. Compassion, for those who don't know, we are a Christian child development organization. We work in 25 of the poorest countries in the world. And we have a model which many of you do know. It's a one-to-one sponsorship model. I sponsor two children. When I was in Uganda, I met one of them. That was a thrill. I met Kenneth. He's 9 years of age. When he joined the program, he wanted to be like his dad, a subsistence farmer. When I met him last week, he wants to be a doctor. Wow. Hope. Aspiration. Now, he may want to be a ballet dancer tomorrow and a fireman the next day, but he has the ability to dream and to hope. And this one-to-one sponsorship model guarantees that the child will have an education, will have all of their healthcare and welfare needs met, but also, as important, if not more so, they will be introduced to the Lord Jesus, and their life will have hope and dreams and aspiration. And I'm here this morning, in the short time that I have, to first of all say thank you. Because for those of you who don't know, there are 19 children. Actually, there are more than 19. Maybe we can bring up the PowerPoint slide, if that would be okay. 19 children's lives that are being transformed, just like Richmond's, because of the generosity of folks here in your congregation. There are actually more than 19, because I know that there are a number of folks here. This is just the 19. When I was here last September, 19 people came forward and they sponsored the child. 19 lives transformed. But I know that there are others who have done it at other times. So at least 19. Maybe the next slide, please. They're in 17 different countries. I've got to get through this really quickly. I was given 10 minutes. I can do 10 minutes as my introduction. I've got to crack on here. So, 17 countries. Yes, next one, please. And they're in all of those different countries. And next one. 106 letters were sent in the last year. 61 from the children to you. 45 from you to the children. You've got a bit of catching up to do. But they love getting the letters. They treasure the letters. So, just a little bit of encouragement. Don't feel guilty, but get online, get cracking on it. Next. 12 girls, 7 boys. Next. And there's a whole lot of information there, but suffice to say, there has been a tremendous investment in those 19 lives because of the generosity of folks here. And we give you thanks for that. Next one. That's a lot of money. £6,600 has gone to the welfare of these 19 children. Plus, there were also additional gifts which are not included in that £6,600. Lives being transformed. I think that's the last slide, possibly. Yeah. Well, there they are. The Rogues Gallery. I wonder what they'll look like in 10 years from now. What hopes and dreams reside in them? What's God going to do with them that he did with people like Richmond? 19 children who now have the hopes and possibility to dream. And in a passage, just briefly for a couple more minutes, the passage that was read to us in Luke chapter 4, we see here Jesus in the synagogue, in the temple, there's a prophecy that dates back to Isaiah chapter 61, the foretelling of the Messiah and his purpose in coming. And here Jesus accepts the scroll, he accepts the baton to say, I am that person. I am the one whom God has sent in order to transform the world. I've come to preach good news to the poor. I've come to proclaim freedom for the captives. I've come to bring sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. 2,000 years ago, and the story hasn't changed. Jesus is still here this morning to preach good news to the poor, to release captives, to see sight to those who have no vision, sight to come to our eyes, and to see those who are oppressed released. So Jesus here is pointing to himself in Luke chapter 4. But he's also saying to us, his disciples, his church, you have a role to play in this. The baton's passed back. We are Christ's hands and feet. You are Christ's hands and feet and voice in Northampton. It might feel as though when we're out in the streets and in the marketplaces and just going about our business, that actually no one wants to hear what I've got to say. The world is desperate to hear the good news of the gospel. And God, in his wisdom, has chosen you and he's chosen me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has chosen us by the power of his Holy Spirit to see lives transformed, to see people released from captivity. When we were in Uganda and we're there, and of course the poverty is all before you. You can see it, you can hear it, you can smell it. It's everywhere. And yet when you see the folks who are living there in community, they are rich in community. We are poor in the West. We are poor in relationships. We're poor in community. And the world wants to be in community. We're made for it. And God has given you a purpose in Northampton to reach out, for example, to those who are lonely. We have an epidemic of loneliness in this country. What are we doing about reaching out to see those lives transformed? I can assure you, as we reach out, not only are the people transformed in whom we reach out to because of what God has done, but so are we. We are transformed also. So here Jesus is pointing out in this passage that we have a role to play. And the news is, it's non-negotiable. This is the way it is. To be followers and disciples of Jesus, it's non-negotiable to reach out to your neighbour, to your friends, to your work colleagues, because that's the role that God has for each and every one of us. And this morning I'm here to represent. There are 2 million children in the Compassion programmes today. That is amazing. 2 million children being transformed because of the generosity of God's people around the world. But there are 400 million who are in poverty. Well, that's too big a number, James. Don't go there. 400 million. What can we do with 400 million? But as always, Jesus comes back to the one. And I know that in this church it's about the one, the next one. And there's always one. This morning, I have someone called Beth, not quite Bethany. I was praying as I was looking at the profiles this morning. And Beth is from Haiti. She is 6 years of age. She lives with her mum and dad in some of the most deprived areas of the world. And as we know about Haiti, not only is it deprived, but it's in an earthquake region. It's in a tsunami region. It gets everything going. And here Beth is looking for a sponsor, looking for someone to stand alongside her and see her life transformed. For £25 a month, which for some people is a lot of money, but for others, £25 a month, I can spend that on a meal for my family and not even think about it. 83 pence a day. If you still buy a newspaper, it's the price of a newspaper. A couple of cups of coffee, of cost of coffee each week. It's not a lot of money to invest in the life of a child and to see transformation, to see lives radically altered. That's what you're already doing here. I want to thank you again on behalf of Compassion, on behalf of all the children which you sponsor. But if you're interested in what we've heard this morning, and possibly it's something that you would like to ask some questions about, you're interested to know more about, or you would like to sponsor a child like Beth, then Toby and myself will be over there, just as the tea and coffee is being served. They already know I would like coffee, no sugar, please. That would be great, just that I get my order in quick. But we'll be over there. We'd love to talk to you about this. If you get any questions, if you want to sponsor a child, want to get alongside a child. But to finish with this, there's a passage also in Luke chapter 10, passage of the Good Samaritan, and the very final verse of that passage where it's talking about reaching out in compassion to those that we don't know, but that God loves. The very final phrase of that passage says, go and do likewise. It's a command. It's a command that is wrapped up in grace. It's wrapped up in love. Our motivation has to be love. God's love for us and then our love for communities in which we're in. But it's non-negotiable for us to reach out to our work colleagues, our friends, our neighbours, our families, and possibly also to children like Beth. Thank you so much for this morning. I think I even managed to finish on time, which is a miracle in itself. And we'll be, pray that Bethany has a wonderful start. Loving parents, God-loving parents who are going to invest in her life. And I pray that you will look out and reach others and invest in theirs. Amen.